The internet has transformed our world into a sea of open source information. From social media to professional networking platforms, the internet is awash with nearly limitless information on billions of people, companies, and organizations. For forensic accountants, this digital landscape presents a goldmine of investigative material. But how to navigate the overwhelming size and complexity of all that available information? For more than 25 years, Cynthia Hetherington has been helping accountants and accounting firms navigate the complex and evolving world of cyber investigations. As the head of the Hetherington Group based in New Jersey, she has led investigations into fraud, asset recovery, and corporate due diligence. I'm Journal of Accountancy Senior Editor Drew Adamack, and today I'll be talking with Cynthia about how forensic accountants can use open source information to become better, smarter investigators, how to verify open source material, and what to do when you encounter information that you should not have.
CPA Charge is offered as an AICPA member discount partner as the best payment solution for CPAs, providing a simple, secure way for you to accept credit, debit, and e-check payments online. Take advantage of our modern cost-saving solution by visiting cpacharge.com/AICPA today.
Cynthia, thank you so much for joining us.
Drew, it's my pleasure.
What is open source investigative material, and why would a forensic accountant need to use it?
Open source investigative intelligence or material research, as I like to look at it, are sources that are found, commonly accepted today, sources found on the internet that make themselves available to any searcher. And the deeper you can go into it, the better the content. But some great examples of open sources are public records, business documents, SEC filings, people's public proclamations on social media. And then the more traditional open sources might have been the garbage on the curb, the hearsay conversation you overhear at the airport, and other real tenuous bits of information that we build leads from. And then from leads, we hope to build intelligence and then evidence.
And how often in your work do you need to rely on open source intelligence?
Drew, my practice here at the Hetherington Group is completely based on open source investigations. If we go back to the school days, you might call it secondary research. There's primary research, which is interview, interrogation, and firsthand experience. And then secondary research, which is the research you do post-event. So everything that my company does in support of accountant firms or groups that are involved in larger scale investigations is open source. So we build all the support material for that. So today's common investigator, including the forensic accountant, spends probably about 50% of their time, if not more, in open source searching.
More specifically, what are some of the brand names that my audience might recognize as open source investigative material?
The number one resource for open source investigators is Google. You know, common search engines and search resources that we use for everything from online investigations of, you know, multi-million dollar lawsuits to finding your next Aruba hotspot location. The nature of open source is that it's not directed as a tool towards anything. Now, when we get into the tools of the business and products that you would actually buy and bring into your office to help do your research, then those open source tools will be Thomson Reuters, LexisNexis, LifeRaft, DarkOwl. These are database providers that aggregate open sources, documents you find on the internet, into cohesive fast finding report styles that we can, you know, do quick due diligences with.
We have this sense, or I have this sense rather, of the information on the internet either being unreliable or too dispersed to be useful. How do you practically make the wide range of information available on the internet useful?
Not only is the information on the internet so widely dispersed that it's granted, it's beyond a, you know, sipping from a fire hose. We're sipping from an ocean. of information. It's ever changing. It's so dynamic that it's hard to put your thumb down to make an assertion of a document. And then on top of it, we have false information, which is, you know, now coquettishly known as fake news and misleading information. So where does a forensic accountant come in and say, I need to narrow this down to these facts? The first thing that a forensic accountant is going to do to build their arsenal, to make them smarter researchers and smarter online investigators, is they're going to build their skill set. They're going to find trusted vendors, trusted websites, trusted sources for content, such as AICPA being a trusted website to learn more about accounting in the United States, to learn more about accounting internationally. So we make value judgments based on the source of the information. From there, we now have to narrow down that large volume, that ocean of water. So you have continual sites that are proving themselves over and over again to being valuable, or provisional source types, such as knowing to use public records, such as knowing and respecting that social media is a source for investigations, but it's something that you have to bring into your report in a guarded way. Drew, I got to tell you, AICPA has been working at the direction of several lead forensic accountants, well-established accountants within their ranks, and they've created a forensic task force, a technology task force that they invited me on, and we have been working in the last year on a quick reference guide that any of our members or any of our associates can download and use to learn some of the bits and bytes about how to do this for themselves, because they talk about all the forensic stuff, the tech stuff, the websites to visit, how to verify a source. Because it can be complicated. It can be overwhelming, you know, especially when you didn't come out of college in the last 10 years getting taught this tradecraft. And now this is completely, I mean, this is not just, well, 10% of my work involves internet searching. 50, 60, 70% of your accountants are sitting behind a browser window today doing your accounting work.
We also have this idea that everything is available on the internet. But are there things that you won't find in open sources?
Drew, what you won't find in open source material, what you shouldn't find are personal finances, health data, protected information, what's known as personal identifying information. That should not be accessible. So social security numbers, dates of birth, all the protected information that's out there should be private or put in secret server somewhere. It shouldn't be accessible. However, with the data breaches and the data leaks we have, a lot of your protected information is out there. And it can happen that an accountant or an online investigator can come across this information while they're doing open source searching.
And that leads me to a logical question. Are there privacy risks that forensic accountants should be taking into consideration as they're conducting this kind of research?
Absolutely. Accountants and new investigators to this field should be respectful of the country laws that they have in place. In the United States, we have Gramm-Leach-Bliley, we have the Fair Credit Reporting Act, Driver's Protection Privacy Act. We also need to be aware of state or country acts, even Europe's GDPR. We have to be conscious of all the different laws that protect personal private information. With that said, open source is still information available in open servers. So you go to www.whatever.com and all of a sudden someone's home address and their date of birth are sitting there. Is the accountant responsible for that or not? And, you know, as they gather it. I can't speak for the legal community or the accounting community, but for the investigative community, we would use the information, we would cite the source that we found it on. If we know it to be information that shouldn't be shared, we will redact the information within our own reports, but we will make the client aware that that information is there, you know, that it is accessible. And it's a very tenuous position to be in, so I would tell any accountant that is in this field, if you come across something that appears to be incredibly sensitive, like someone's health records or their social security numbers or other pieces of information, do not repeat the information you have found in your reports But because you found it in an open, unprotected area, you can make mention of it. I mean, if nothing else, for protective purposes, this document is sitting here on this server. They perhaps don't realize it's not behind a firewall.
There's this old adage that on the internet, no one knows you're a dog. How can you vet information that you find or find information about people who don't want to be found?
And interestingly enough, I just had an article I wrote about, defaulting fake news. How do you figure out what's real and what isn't real on the internet? Because the trend in the next 5 years is going to be deliberately putting false information to mislead even reputable journalists down the wrong path, because it's just so easy to do these days. So how do we stop the misalignment of bad information? And then how do we support the accountants who are using the internet to conduct research to not pull down bad data for their reports? And that is always by verifying the source. Go to the source. Where did this information come from? Well, it came from a reputable service. Now, AICPA.org says this is the fact. Well, that's an association. I recognize the address, the web address. It's the one that I use to log into and see what my association chapter is up to. You know, I consider this a valuable source, and I will use and quote them. I mentioned on our call earlier, there's hearsay, there's intelligence, and then there's evidence. And evidence has the highest criteria of authenticity. Evidence means it's a public record filed within a court system. Evidence is a first-hand video recording of an interview. Evidence is the smoking gun in the guy's hand and a body underneath him. Intelligence is the summation that these things all occurred, and they're from, you know, expected resources and vetted resources and people you appreciate and respect. And hearsay is just, I saw it on Facebook. And it's exactly, you know, you take it for what it is. It could be true, it's probably true, maybe it's not true. So you just, if you could tag the information you take off the internet, off of open source searches, in those three boxes, hearsay, intelligence, and evidence, you can really help build a stronger report and have more confidence in the reports that you're writing based on your findings and how you merit them to be valuable or not.
Say you are a forensic accountant and you are investigating a suspected case of fraud. How would you go about finding all of the online or as many of the online personas of your investigative target as possible?
This is a great question. How do we get ourselves involved in a case and locate all those personas that are out there? And, you know, find every last bit of information that we can locate on a subject. And this is a case that comes too often. So a forensic accountant gets, you know, Bob Smith. Well, let's make it a little easier. Let's, you know, Bob Smithson as his case. Well, how do you start narrowing down to the Bob Smithson that you need to find? We usually know a few things about good old Bob. We know maybe where he works because the employer called you and he wants a discreet investigation done on Bob Smithson. We think Bob is stealing money from the company, writing his own little checks, or taking money out of the lunch money out of the cafeteria. But we're not convinced completely, and so we want to make sure that this is done discreetly, because if we're wrong, we don't want to jeopardize our relationship. So I have to find out everything about Bob Smithson. I know where he works, so I will combine my search, even in Google. You do not need to get an expensive, fancy database to do this, but you can go to Google and you could say Bob Smithson and the company you work for. And more than likely, you will find, at the very least, his LinkedIn account. Now, from there, we could start developing other leads. From there, we could start saying, well, it looks like he obviously works at the ABC company. We know that, and that's located in Foxborough, Massachusetts. So I'm going to now look for all the Bob Smithsons in the Foxborough area. What else do I know about Foxborough? Foxborough is the home of the New England Patriots. So maybe I'll look for Bob Smithsons and the word Patriots. And I start doing those word combinations with his name to try to ferret out all the potential links. Now, Drew, another aspect of social media finding is that many of the accounts are interlinked with each other. Bob could have started with a MySpace account many years ago, and then when Facebook came out, he went over to Facebook and created his profile there, and he abandoned his MySpace account. You know, so it's still sitting there. So we might find older accounts. We'll also find that on his Facebook account, he might reference his Twitter account or his Instagram account, because they'll be within links or the actual content of what he's posted in the last year. Hey, you know, check out my new Instagram account. Or a link right in the profile now that says, you know, I put my little tweets here, the opinions are my own, but if you want to see my blog, visit, you know, Bob Smithson, Patriots fan, blog.com. So all those accounts get interlinked, and it really is it's an asymmetrical way of investigations. This is a very non-linear type of search, because linear would tell me I would go into, you know, Accurant or Kilo or Clear. I would pull his background report, you know, based on his name and his social security number address. Then I would go from those databases to the internet, and I would start looking up his address, his name. You know, that's a very check-the-box kind of investigation, and it's absolutely appropriate in certain cases. But if I have to find a social media footprint, you have to really reach out like an octopus trying on tap shoes, you know, in six different directions at the same time. So you have to be a critical thinker who can handle looking at multiple pages, multiple screens, and multiple personas. Because you see, Bob may also have, you know, a love of the Patriots on one page and a hate of them on another. And so you have to be prepared to see all those different views. It's a skill set that you develop as you start doing casework. And you really get into this. But frankly, that's why a lot of forensic accounting firms call us, because, you know, we do this all day long, day and night, where we couldn't add 2 + 2 with 3 calculators and an entire accounting firm. You know, it's our skill set.
How would you recommend that forensic accountants regularly incorporate open source and intelligence into their investigative practices?
The forensic accountant and open source investigations go hand in hand. And the real rationality for me to make that statement with such authority is that the AICPA's team members came to me a year ago, a non-accountant. You know, certainly I've worked with forensic accountants for decades, but I'm not an accountant. I work and support their work. But they came to me and they said, we need to know what open source intelligence investigators are doing, because forensic accountants do this today. And we need to understand the better practices and the tradecraft and how we can get ourselves to this side of the swing versus what we've been traditionally doing. So I know that you're doing this. I know this is part and parcel of what your work is. And I would say, in all my assertiveness, you're going to be doing this every single case. This is on par with when computer forensics started coming up in the late 80s and the early 90s. That, you know, wasn't what we were doing. We were all doing OneWrite systems probably back then. And all of a sudden, computers started coming into the offices. And then the accounting firms at the time were saying, hey, how many computer forensics people do we really need on board? When does a computer become part of our investigation? Today, you couldn't possibly imagine a forensic accountant case coming through without computers involved. This is just the extension, and quite frankly, much easier than computer forensics. So open source is in every single case. There's always going to be a lead out there. There's always going to be some hearsay that needs to be looked at. And now with social media so prevalent and so unprotected, I want to stress this, social media posts are unprotected information. That's international. Global. You can look at social media posts anywhere in the world, and as long as someone puts out in an open profile for anybody and everybody to see, you know, if you're just clicking around your mouse, then you're going to see it. That's open source. So of all the world of protected information, social media has now really opened up our case abilities and our investigative reach to such unimaginable points. So we really have an aspect now that we can take full advantage of. I honestly couldn't imagine an investigative group of forensic accountants not using social media and open source today. I just can't imagine that group still exists in today's investigative needs.
Cynthia, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you, Drew. This has been a lot of fun. I hope that everyone checks out the AICPA's quick guide. It should be out sometime, I believe, in 2020, our quick reference guide for doing this type of work. And you can always call or reach out to me if you have any questions.
I'm Journal of Accountancy Senior Editor Drew Adamack, and today I've been talking with Cynthia Hetherington about how forensic accountants can use open source information to become better, smarter investigators. For more information, please visit our website. Thank you for listening.
This podcast is designed to provide illustrative information with respect to the subject matter covered and does not represent an official opinion or position of the AICPA or AICPA.org. It is provided with the understanding that the AICPA and AICPA.org are not engaged in offering legal, accounting, or other professional service. If such advice or expert assistance is required, the services of a competent professional person should be sought. The AICPA and AICPA.org make no representations, warranties, or guarantees as to, and assume no responsibility for, the content or application of the material contained herein, and especially disclaim all liability for any damages arising out of the use of, reference to, or reliance on such material.